My dear friends, today is, of course, Ascension Thursday, and the epistle is taken from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise I began and made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs for 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the conclusion of the Gospel of St. Mark. At that time, the 11 were at the table, and Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere the Lord, working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall come as you have seen him going. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Old Testament book of Kings, we read the story of the life of Elias. Elias is also known as Elijah. And he was one of the greatest prophets that God raised to help direct the Hebrew people. He lived for about 50 years between the year 900 and 849 BC. And like most of the prophets, God raised him up to help the chosen people and to be a contrast to them for the way that they were leading their lives at the time. You see, most of the people by this time had followed Solomon and some of the other kings into paganism and idolatry. They had completely forgotten about the God of their fathers, the glories of King David, and the great and miraculous gifts that God had showed David and the people of his kingdom for their fidelity. By the time Elias came to preach, the people who should have still been believing God and worshiping him had almost all fallen into paganism and wickedness. But as good as God always is, he did not abandon them. But he raised up Elias to bring them back by his preaching and even by the miracles that God worked through him. Elias had the power to raise a young man from the dead. He is known for his sacrifice being lit by God himself, even though it was drenched in water. And this miracle was all the more striking to the people at the time because very close at hand were the pagan priests who were making lamentation and all sorts of ruckus to try to call their gods to light their sacrifice, but the fire never came for them. After about 50 years, though, God called Elias to him. Not by death, but Elias is one of the only people to be called out of this world, not by death. He went to God in the fiery chariot in a whirlwind. And God still did not abandon his chosen people, but he provided for them the person of Elisha. Elisha was a man who was Elias's chief disciple. And he asked Elias, in all humility, he said, "May I please have your spirit come upon me in a greater power than it has come upon any other man?" Now, the reason he asked for this was not out of pride or any self-motive, but he wanted to be able to help continue to bring the people back to God. So Elias did not answer him directly, but what he did was he gave him his cloak, the symbol of his presence. And Elias had actually just used this cloak. He had struck it against the waters of the Jordan River. And like Moses, the water separated so that Elias and Elisha could go to the other side, where Elias would be brought to heaven. Having this cloak then, Elisha had his first chance to see if God would bless him with the same power of leading the people as Elias had. And so when he came to the banks of the Jordan, he too struck it with this cloak of Elias. And again, the waters stood to one side so that he could come back to the Hebrew people and teach them the way towards God and lead them on their path of conversion. So we see that in the life of Elias, God not only did not abandon his people when they turned away from him, but he gave them the prophets. And even after Elias, he left Elias's cloak here on earth to continue to be a sign to the chosen people that God was with them. And on that first Ascension Thursday, when our Lord ascended into heaven, he also did not abandon us here on earth, but rather he left a promise that the Holy Ghost would come in a short time. The Holy Ghost would come and begin to reign through the Catholic Church on earth. And thus, by ascending into heaven through his own divine power, as well as his promise to send us the Holy Ghost and to start the church on that first Pentecost Sunday, our Lord once again proved his love for us. And it is those great events that we celebrate today. You know, 6 weeks to the day before his glorious ascension, from that very same spot, our Lord entered into the Garden of Olives, which is at the base of the mountain. And on that night, he began his passion and would ultimately, of course, lead to his death. On that night, he began the work of our salvation in earnest. But then 6 weeks later, from the same mountain, but this time from the top of the mountain, our Lord ascended into heaven. He wished by this to show all of us that the terrors, the pains, the agonies that we might go through in this life, just like those of his passion and death, can quickly be replaced by the glories of God if we place ourselves in his intercession. The glories of the resurrection and the ascension can be ours to have if we follow our lives in union with God and his holy will. And so we stop to consider today what a glorious event the ascension really was. Sometimes it can be difficult to see it for what it was because we think of our Lord leaving this earth. But we have to realize that he did leave physically and personally, but he did not leave us abandoned. He did not leave us alone, but he left us our Holy Mother, the Church, to help guide and bring us towards on the path of salvation, towards the day of our own death, and then, God willing, resurrection and ascension into heaven. Our Lord, of course, did leave us himself in the Blessed Sacrament, but on that first Ascension Thursday, when he knew that he would no longer be personally here to preach, teach, and govern and guide us, he gave the promise that the church would one day come. The church would come, we now know, 10 days later, and with her authority, she has the right and the power to teach, govern, and sanctify all men. Very often in today's world, that authority is overlooked. That authority is second-guessed and questioned. But for those of us who have been given the grace of the one true faith, we know that the authority of the church is the authority of our Lord, who left it here to direct us towards him. We can be perfectly confident not only that the church will teach us what we need to know, but also we can also be confident in her infallibility. That is, her ability to teach us, especially in regards to faith and moral, and that we have absolutely no thought or no threat of falling into error as long as we follow the laws of the Catholic Church and her holy teachings. And finally, when he gave us the church, our Lord endowed her with what's called indefectibility. That is that characteristic whereby she will last to the end of time. There will never be a human soul on earth that would look for or seek for the church or need the church's assistance, and yet the church would not be here for that person. No matter what condition it is in, the church will last until the very end of time. How comforting that is to know that not only did our Lord leave us this great gift in his holy church, but that it will be here no matter what happens for all time. Let us thank our Lord then on this Ascension Thursday for the great gift that he gave us in not abandoning us after he arose into heaven, but giving us all the graces and the blessings of his spotless bride, the church. And in our gratitude, let us make sure that we examine our own conduct. Are we good children of the church? Do we follow her laws, her customs? Do we follow the example and the teachings that she gives to us? The teachings of her saints and their examples, the doctrines set down by the fathers and doctors of the church, the popes down through the ages. Do we follow what they tell us to do in our daily lives? And most especially, when we think of our Lord leaving us the church on that first Ascension Thursday, we can think that while the apostles waited for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost and the church to actually come, the way that they kept that time was by staying close to the Blessed Mother. She was the other great link that our Lord would leave so that men for all time would know how to come to him, know how to love and serve him by looking to our Blessed Lady. And so as we spend these next 10 days reliving the time between the Ascension and Pentecost, let us renew our devotion to our Blessed Mother. Let us ask her for the grace to appreciate all that our Lord has done for us. And by staying close to the Blessed Mother, she will help us to stay close to her Son. And she will see to it that we gain all of the graces that we need to prepare ourselves for the day when, God willing, we too will one day ascend into heaven to enjoy that eternal bliss forever and ever. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.